Good morning. Welcome to the Bible study. I am Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, your host for today. You know, we're really looking forward. We're on a countdown when Pastor Will Wheaton will be taking over, and this program will be called Thy Strong Word. And he's going to do a fantastic job. He brings so much energy and knowledge with him. It's going to be fantastic. So we anticipate greatness here at Worldwide KFUO real soon. Speaking of greatness, one of our Hall of Famers, he's been here for quite a while, Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO. Following this program, you are on.
Is that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You better go do your work.
Oh, dear.
Thanks for being with us, Mark.
A privilege and a pleasure, indeed, for sure. Craig and Pastor D'Onofrio, you have done an excellent job here as well. You talk about our new host coming and Will Wheaton, and yes, he will do very well.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, I've enjoyed working with you.
Mark, yeah. you know, this is why you have Moments of Assurance, is because you're one of the most supportive people that I've ever met, and we really love you and appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and the same here. But you know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, brethren, encourage one another. I mean, that's what it's all about. And you hear a good word, the tongue is very powerful, and you hear a good word from somebody, it encourages you.
We may just change your name to Barnabas. We'll call you Barney around the place.
Okay,
here.
You do that.
We're looking at Psalm 68 today. We need to jump in. You know, yesterday we were worried because the psalm was so short. We were worried about how we were going to fill an hour. Today it's so long, we're trying to figure out how it's going to fit into an hour. And so if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and turn to Psalm 68. God shall scatter his enemies is the heading here. And while you're going there, Pastor Hawkinson, if you lead us in a word of prayer, I sure would appreciate it.
Gracious God, you are awesome. It is beyond measure for anyone to put down into words how great you really are. You led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You led them to the promised land across the Jordan. And you allowed them to successfully conquer the Canaanites plus all the other foreign nations there. And you are just awesome. And you have provided salvation for your people, for each listener today through Jesus Christ, who is the one who has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, and that the scepter will not depart from Judah. So thanks, Lord, for bringing Jesus, and bring Jesus into the picture in Psalm 68 today. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Real quickly, some background on this. Before the program, you were saying that this is a processional hymn, basically, that there's a procession going on. Could you explain that for our listeners quickly?
Well, from what I have derived from some of the sources I've examined, the psalm was composed when the ark was brought up from the house of Obed-Edom and placed in the city of David, which of course is Jerusalem, in the tent of the tabernacle. And there's an obvious reference here to the words used by Moses on the removal of the ark, and that goes back to Numbers chapter 35. Here's the point. The ark, of course, was the symbol of the divine presence. And the idea is wherever the ark was, the enemies of God would be scattered, would be subdued, would be conquered. And so the victory procession here, along with the ark, takes place as they travel in Jerusalem to either the tabernacle or the temple. We're not real sure about that. It could be one or it could be the other. So it's a victory, Craig, a victory procession with the ark, giving God credit for having been responsible for, well, going back to Sinai, going all the way through the wilderness wanderings of 40 years, and then the conquering of Canaan. All glory be to God. He's the one who's in charge. It's his word, just like going back to creation, goes back to Genesis. God said a word, let there be light, and there was light. God said a word, let there be victory, and there was victory regarding his people. And so the point is, Israel, and you and I are the new Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We're taken care of, and God has subdued the enemies that we can't see today, the devil and his cohorts.
Not to mention the world and our own sinful
yes.
nature, too.
Yeah, they're involved, aren't they?
Yeah.
A little struggle.
It's always, It's always easy to do that old Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it, but usually I wanted to.
Yes, that's right. You can't, that's a cop-out. That's a Flip Wilson cop-out, right. I guess you can call it. Yes, right. Yes, indeed. So at any rate, that's a bit of the background there. It is a Psalm of David, we think. And as I say, a lot of music going on here. There was dancing that was going on. The women were involved there. The singers came first, and then the musical instruments. And there were all sorts of musical instruments, especially the tambourine. You know what a tambourine is? Have you ever played one?
You know, I've played with one. I don't know as I've actually played it properly.
Yeah, I haven't. I thought, boy, I haven't even seen one in person. I think that would be fascinating, except for a picture when I looked it up in the study Bible here. So at any rate, the Lord takes care of his people, Israel, and this whole thing is all about giving honor and glory. Sometimes the psalmist goes back to Sinai. Mm-hmm. And Sinai quakes, and the rains come down, and the bread, the manna from heaven come down, and everything shakes, and you're reminded, whoa, it's just like we were talking off mic at the beginning of the program. The scriptures tell us it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of Almighty God. So God is not one to be, messed with. That's for sure.
Let's jump into the text. By the way, if you'd like to join the program today, you're certainly welcome to. We'll try to squeeze you in this long psalm, but we always cherish your calls. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, 800-730-2727 nationwide. And Jenny is waiting by the phones, waiting for your calls. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. Folks who did the Lutheran Study Bible did us a nice favor here.
Oh, they did an excellent job.
They broke this down into chunks that we might be able to handle here in an hour. So our first section is 1 through 6.
Right.
God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's just a description there of what your God and my God is like, and how this is not a different God than the God of the New Testament. Some people try to catch some sort of differentiation there, but there is none. The same God, Yahweh, the covenant God, is the one who fulfilled that covenant with Jeremiah 31, with the fulfillment that comes in Christ, who's the new tabernacle. And so, in fact, Jesus tabernacled among his people. And so all of this is a foretaste of what is to come here.
A few things jumped out at me in verse 1 here. Those who hate him shall flee before him. There's nowhere we can go that God doesn't see us, but we think that we can go places or do things and God won't see.
He is, and you're a pastor, you know this well, omnipresent. He's able to be present everywhere, but it's like you say, that's an illusion to them. They only think that they can run from God. But as you know the expression, you can run, but you can't hide. And that's certainly true in this case.
And then verse 2 gives me a little concern here. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. Pastor Hawkinson, I know that I'm a sinner. And, this is law here, isn't it?
Oh, you betcha. As they say up in Minneapolis, you betcha.
Oh, yes,
that's
sure.
The way it is, yeah. It is law, but now you keep in mind that these people that he's referring to here are not part of Israel. These are Israel's enemies, and all this is a description. You know how fast wax would melt before fire. I mean, it doesn't take very long. If you've got to put a fire up to wax, it's going to just just virtually disappear. So the wicked shall perish before God. So this is not involving But I know what you mean. On the other hand, there is an awe, an A-W-E, a holy respect of the Almighty, even for the Christian parson. You're a parson person. The individual that's listening, you know what I'm saying. There is this humongous respect that, and I'll tell you what, you're a young man yet. When you get older like I am, the awesomeness increases, because guess what? You're realizing, hey, you know, I'm looking at my age here and got a few health problems to boot, and, you know, not going to be around a whole lot longer. And so you think, oh, my goodness, I'm going to meet this God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have an encounter here. And so it isn't like I've got to clean up my act, but it's like my respect grows for the Almighty. It isn't anything you have to fear, though, because just because you're a sinner, you know that you're a sinner. Why did Jesus come?
Right. And that takes us into verse 3. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exalt before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Our righteousness is found only in God's righteousness given to us, right?
It's a cloak placed upon you and me.
Right.
Free. And there are no strings attached to it.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the desert. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. That capital Lord there, Yahweh.
Yes,
right?
So the covenant, the covenant God.
Right.
The one that takes care of his people. And the allusion here is to God marching ahead of the people of Israel as they would go through the wilderness wanderings for 40 years, that he would be ahead of them as their leader and as their covenant God.
Riding through the desert, certainly we have that 40 years in the wilderness kind of thing. But also, I think of John the Baptizer coming out of the wilderness and preparing the way for the Lord. And so, in a sense, Jesus rides through the desert of our sin and our transgressions, and he leads us to the promised land. And this isn't just the country of Israel, but the country of the kingdom of God.
You and I are the new Israel.
Yes.
And we're getting led and fed from the head, from Christ himself. And that's how we know we're going to get there. And by the way, as you get toward the middle part or toward the end of the psalm, it talks, I've got a few comments about deliverance from death that I think is very, very important to talk about.
We'll be sure to dovetail that
okay.
in. The next couple of verses, especially verse 5, Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a parched land. I can't help but to think that in these days, widows and orphans were not well cared for. I'm thinking that it was Dr. Gibbs at the seminary, I think, who was lecturing, and he made a statement that oftentimes orphans were just left at the side of the road to die, or maybe someone would pick them up.
But that's sad, isn't it?
Oftentimes people would just walk by. Yeah. Oh, look, an orphan. That's unfortunate. And just keep going, right?
Like the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
You walk by on the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very sad.
So
indeed.
This is a day and time also where the widows, they didn't have any source of income, because that was usually the husband who provided the income, right?
Certainly. Yes. Yeah. So, but this is a way of telling them that you do have a father, even if you're fatherless, and you do have a protector. You have someone that is watching over your soul, someone that will ultimately take care of you. And regarding the prisoners, well, those that are in prison unjustly. Now, obviously, you know, if you've done a crime, you're going to have to pay the fine, so to speak, and you're going to or do the time. But if you're in there unjustly, then God leads the prisoners to prosperity. He leads them out of that. But the rebellious, those that reject the message and reject the true God, they're going to be in a parched land. And if you're in a parched land, there's no water. See, there's no way to get refreshment. There's no way to get life.
No baptism.
No baptism. There you go. No baptism, no chance for eternal life.
Going back to this widow's thing, because I'm just fixated on this
little
bit.
Sure.
It was a very unique thing when the apostles told the church, take care of the widows, take care of the orphans. And out of that, we've had so many ministries over the last 2,000 years, orphanages, and the ability to take care of those who are impoverished. And so the Lord does this for our impoverished souls, and yet he calls us, his people, to do for those who are in our midst the same, and to care for them also. Let's press on a little bit, unless you have anything to add to that.
No, I don't think so. But I think, yes, I think we have a responsibility from God. And it's outlined in his word, just as you mentioned, to provide and take care of it. That's a good observation that, regarding the orphanages and things that have popped up. That's for sure.
Well, and hopefully something that's born out of love, not obligation also.
But, oh, right. Yeah.
7-10. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, rain in abundance. O God, you shed abroad, you restored your inheritance as it languished, your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provide for the needy. That kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, doesn't it?
It does, and it kind of fits in with Psalm 23 as well, with the shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And why not? Well, because here's the reason you won't be wanting, because of the Lord, you're like a flock. And the shepherd takes care of his flock. And it says here, you provided for the needy. And, you know, that's an article of faith there that, you know, God will provide for your need. I always like to say sometimes we have a nick of time, God. He comes through just in the nick of time. But you have to be careful there that you don't run into a name it, claim it theology that says, well, you know, I'll give you an example. I was working with an Ambassadors for Christ group back at in prep school back in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we were supposed to do some evangelization or going door to door at that time. That was pretty big in those days. It's not so today. The chairman of the group, I said, well, where's the company car? You know, we have to have Oh, the Lord will provide. I said, oh, really? Well, we're supposed to leave at 5 o'clock. I hope the Lord will provide pretty soon. Yeah, well, he had done no legwork or anything. And so, you see, that kind of theology, you have to be careful about that sort of thing. But on the other hand, by faith, we walk by faith, not by sight, that the Lord sometimes does come through just in the nick of time. He does in many cases.
Or shall we say in his time?
Yeah, nick of time and his time would be the same. Yeah, not your time schedule.
Right.
But what I'm saying is he does come through, but sometimes not the way that you want him to.
Well, and we've seen this so many times in the Psalms also, where the psalmist writes, how long, O Lord, must I endure this? And the answer is, I've got a plan here.
Yeah.
I'm going to work this out.
As long as is necessary, as long as I want you to.
Right.
Right.
And usually longer than you want.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yes. Usually the time frame is not what you would like it to be. Let's shorten it, please, God. But sometimes it's lengthened for your strengthening.
314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, 800-730-2727 nationwide. As we talk with Pastor Mark Hawkinson of Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO about Psalm 68. The earthquake, first, he went before his people in the wilderness, that pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, always leaves me scratching my head, because they've seen God part the waters, they've seen God have food fall from the sky, they've seen God do all of these marvelous acts, they've seen every day this pillar of fire and this pillar of cloud leading them. And soon as Moses goes up on the mountain and overstays longer than they think that he should,
they
building their own idols.
Yeah.
Holy cow, how lame can you people
speaking
be?
Speaking of the cow.
I didn't mean it that way, but good catch.
Freudian slip there. I don't know what you call that. But at any rate, but that was well said. And I know what you were saying there. And sometimes it's just, which tells you what? The Lord doesn't want us to depend on signs. He doesn't want us to depend on miracles. For faith, he wants us to depend on his word. Take his word for it. And that's coming up in just a moment in this next verse or this next section. But, if the Lord were to have some kind of miraculous sign come before you, Craig, every morning as you got up, that the window shade went up and down 10 times, or whatever the case might be.
I might just call an exorcist or something, have some fellow pastors come and start praying.
Then you'd start wondering, hey, is this from God?
Right.
You know, so, you know, we shouldn't, people should not trust in signs or wonders or their feelings.
Mm.
Not trust in their feelings as well. Just God's precious word and sacraments. That is the bottom line. That's where you get the trust in the first place.
And so often we adopt the attitude, even though we've seen so many wonders from God, including a new day, and yet we adopt the attitude of, well, what have you done for me today, God? You know, how are you pleasing me today, God? Instead of
it's like
thank you for Jesus Christ.
Right. It's like the Christian life is supposed to be a gimme thing.
Right.
Come on, gimme.
Right.
What am I going to get? But it's what are you going to give in response to what you already have in Jesus Christ? That's the ticket there.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I was just thinking an entitlement mentality before God. But let's look at verse 9 here.
That's a good illustration. Yeah.
Verse 9 and 10, rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Once again, we get that idea of going back to the orphans and the widows, God providing, but also that we are spiritually impoverished. Apart from Christ, we are the needy. And then also in this, Pastor Hawkinson, and I'll just say this and then let you comment on it, this rain in abundance, I can't help but to think in the New Testament, the rain falls and the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike,
that
common grace that God shows to people.
And that's the benevolent God. He's benevolent to the world. Yeah, you know, that's for sure. But here, and what I get out of this as well as is this, that his people Israel is like a flock, and they get burned out.
Mm.
They get low on spiritual fuel. And the result of that is that here it says here that they're refreshed. And just like in Psalm 23, same thing. He restores my soul here. You restored your inheritance as it languished. So is there a languishing among Christian people today? Do they languish? Do I languish? You bet. Sometimes I languish. You do too as well. And so God is the one who, through his word, gets us restored again. So we're able to move forward.
And let's do move forward then.
Okay. Speaking of which, yes. Okay.
We're marching on through time here, and I think we're doing pretty well here. 11 through 14, maybe I'll just read this, and then we'll take the break, and then come back on the other side. The Lord gives the word. The women who announced the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. This is full of a lot of rich imagery that maybe we'll be able to decipher a little bit when we come back off the
break.
Sounds good. You're listening to the Bible Study on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News. We're talking with Pastor Mark Hawkinson about Psalm 68. We'll be back right after this.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. Today's day sponsors are Bill and Linda Stegman and their children, Rebecca and Luke. Today's day sponsors made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in celebration of the birthday of their son and brother, Isaac Stegman, as they look forward to spending eternity with him in the presence of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116, verse 15. Once again, we say thank you to Bill and Linda Stegman and their children, Rebecca and Luke of Ava, Illinois.
Have you ever committed the sin against the Holy Spirit? Is it true that such a sin is not forgivable? With the help of our Ruminations co-host, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz, we will be discussing the sin against the Holy Spirit as God understands it, which means we are going to use the Bible to define the concept.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to the Bible Study. I am your host for today, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. I say for today because I'm a short timer on this program. Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Well, you've got the Reformation Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah. But on this program, being the program director here, I don't get to do much program directing because I'm on air all the time.
Yeah. You got to have time to do the other work. Sure.
Right. I have to listen to your program and complain about something.
Yeah. Critique
it. I have to find something to complain about with you.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I welcome that.
We're looking at Psalm 68, and that other voice is Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance. That comes on right after this program, by the way. And we read 11 through 14, but before we jump back into that, we have a caller. Let's talk to David in St. Charles County. Welcome to the program, David.
Hi.
Hi.
I also want to comment on Pastor Mark Hawkinson. He's a very nice man, and he might know me a little bit, not by ever seeing me, but he always answered my emails.
Oh, I know you, David. Yes, sir. Yes, nice to talk with you.
Very upbeat, from what I can hear, and a very nice Christian. So I just wanted to say that to you.
Well, thank you. You haven't seen my other side, though. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people, too. Just a question on this being a sinner. I think what do you think most people would believe that they're a sinner? But I think in the Christianity side of it, maybe what I don't hear enough emphasized is that you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And do you think sometimes we emphasize too much that we're a sinner and only deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment instead of saying the positive side that, hey, I'm a new creature in Christ, all things passed away, all things become new? And that's my question.
Okay. Well,
thank you, David.
Appreciate
thanks
it, David.
For calling in. Thanks for listening. Okay. And we like Pastor Hawkinson, too.
Thank you. Thank you. you know, I would say that the gospel should always have the preeminence and the emphasis. And you have to have the law there in order to know that you're a sinner, in order to know that you have fallen short of the glory of God. But nobody gets motivated for Christian living by the preaching of the law. Mm-hmm. That happens through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel message about Jesus. Jesus has done all of this for you and for me. What's your response to that? Well, my response is that I want to live for him. I don't want to live for me. And that's why St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I appreciate David's comment, and that new man in Christ, that's the one that Paul wanted to have put down, and the new man is what he wanted to come up, and it's the old Adam that he wanted to have put down. And the gospel should always be the primary emphasis. I guess you and I, everybody could do a little better job on that, I suppose. But you still have to have the law there. You know, it's important,
right,
too.
There is no gospel without the law.
No.
And so,
good news.
To simply walk around and say, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, we have to ask the question, from what?
Exactly.
And so as we see the depths of our sin, hopefully we also see the extremity of God's grace, that his grace outnumbers all my sins, and I am a saint only in him am I a saint. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what has Christ Jesus done for me? So, yes, we do focus on the fact that we are sinners, because that's the only thing that we bring to the party is a mess that needs to be cleaned up. And Jesus is in the cleaning business. And so in order to proclaim the gospel, we do have to kind of wallow in our sin a little bit and say, man, do I deserve to be crushed like a bug? And then we can certainly turn and say, thanks be to Christ Jesus, who has redeemed a worm like me. And so this focus on our sin hopefully isn't just a self-flagellation all the time, but also something that we use to proclaim the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Without our sin, it's just not that amazing.
Yeah, grace greater than our sin.
Yes.
And it's all in him. It's all in Christ.
Absolutely. Let's get back to 11 through 14 here when we left off. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. Let's stop there. Women announcing? What? We're Jews here, Pastor Hawkinson.
Yeah,
don't let the women announce this sort of thing.
Well, in this case, they were given that responsibility for some reason. they're pretty good at it, you know, announcing good news. And, I mean, they're not pastors here. They're not, you know,
right.
or anything like that. They're just simply making announcements. And, it says they're a great host of them. So there you go. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a woman, you know, announcing the good news about Jesus Christ. And they were especially earmarked for that purpose here. And it is an unusual thing when you think about the culture of the day,
right.
or the culture of the New Testament times as well, and the words of the Apostle Paul and all of that. But what can you say? That's the word, and that's the way it is. That's the way they had it set up. And the singers came first, and then the instrumentalists, and the women were announcing the good news. They were a great host of them. They were in the middle of the whole procession that led to the tabernacle or the temple.
Well, and then the goodness of God. We find also there were some other women that announced this goodness of God on a resurrection day.
Well, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's just that's a beautiful example, and who could keep that to themselves?
I mean, yeah, certainly.
Talking about he's not here, he's risen, and are you just supposed to go home and let's bake a loaf of bread, you know, and just forget about it? You can't hardly do that. There's good news that's going to come out.
So what do they announce here? The kings of the armies, they flee, and then the women at home divide the spoil.
Yeah.
So they're running back maybe from the battlefield, even, you know, having seen the men fighting from a distance there and seeing that it's a rout. Israel is winning or has won. Victory is ours.
Yeah, and they're happy about it. And so there's a spoil from the foreigners, and it says here that they had the responsibility of dividing that spoil and while the men were still at war. And
And once again, those women that showed up on the resurrection day proclaiming the good news of victory, also that the resurrection has occurred, the victory is ours.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, this is not a resurrection in process. This is not a salvation in process. It is one that's already been won through God's precious and only Son.
Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold, when the Almighty scatters kings, let snow fall on Zalmon. What's Zalmon?
The word means shadow. Shadows. And the sense here is that there were so many enemies that were destroyed that their bones were like the snow that would fall. And, it was such, so plentiful, and there were so many of them regarding the victory. That's what was going on there. Just some imagery there to describe what a tremendous victory. When the Almighty scatters kings, he scatters kings, and he has the victory.
Very good. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, nationwide, 800-730-2727. Linda in Farmington, Missouri, welcome to the Bible study.
Good morning, pastors. How are you today?
Great.
Good morning. Good morning, Linda.
We've got storms moving in, so
storms,
I hope it
yes.
continues to be a good day.
Yeah.
Yes. That'll help my garden.
Good.
I remember you teaching us for years, Pastor. God delivers us. not from trouble, but in trouble.
Yes, in the midst, think, right. Uh-huh.
And with all the singing in this chapter, I think of Paul and Silas sitting in stocks and probably hungry, probably in a terrible prison. And along around midnight, they started singing. And
that's a neat observation, Linda. Very, yeah, it's a neat
and
observation.
See, that's where the victory is. God, you know, that first line, let God arise. Let him arise. I don't care where you are. You know, worship springs from a cross where God shook both the heavens and the earth and the foundation of hell. And the cross is not a very, you know, comfortable place either, but that's where our worship springs from, and that's where our victory lies. And all of a sudden, we're not aware of our afflictions. They're eclipsed by his glory and so his presence with us, and we can get through anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that word. I have never heard that expressed before. That's really good. Eclipsed. I like that.
Yeah. You know,
whoa,
what?
That's neat.
That's in a song you used to play for us, Jesus is Jealous for Me. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions. Eclipsed by glory.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out. I'm not sure about that.
It's kind of a newer song.
Okay.
I didn't sing it very good, but love y'all.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Linda. All right, take care.
Always good to hear from Linda.
Yes, very much so.
Let's look at 15 through 18. Boy, time stands still for no man, does it?
No.
O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode? Yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. This mountain of the Lord that's going on here. Any thoughts on that?
Well, the mountain of Bashan, those mountains were located even above the Sea of Chinnereth. I was looking that up on a map last night. Quite a ways away, but these were impressive mountains around 9,000 feet high. And then you have Zion, which is considerably a lower mountain. Now, keep in mind, I have not been there in person. I wish, you know, I could go sometime. But
we'll get KFUO to pay for it somehow.
at any rate, the sense is kind of an imagery here of the people scorning and making fun of the people of Israel and down there and the lower level down there in Jerusalem, you know, and Mount Zion. It's just a pitiful-looking thing in comparison to Bashan and Mount Hermon, you know. And so it's just kind of a way that, you know, a personification with the mountain being the people making fun of the people of Israel. Why do you look with hatred at many peak mountains? The point is that there the chariots come in, the chariots of God, the angels. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're twice 10,000. What would that be? 20,000? Well, thousands upon thousands. So it's way above that. And the Lord is among them. And the Lord is in his sanctuary there. In Zion or Jerusalem. And so make all the fun you want to of it. It's not the size that counts. It's the fact that the Lord protects his people Israel, and he still is. You're part of the new Israel, and I am as well, Craig. And each person in Christ is part of the new Israel, and the Lord watches over us and protects us. So that's some of what's going on here.
I'm also reminded of Isaiah, the mountain of the Lord there, and one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, because I love a good barbecue, is on the mountain of the Lord, we will eat fatted meats and drink fine wines. And this house of
God—
That's
hard on the cholesterol, isn't it?
Not in heaven.
No. Okay. All right. Well, then we don't have to worry about it. Okay. That's,
but the idea of that party that will have no end, which is how heaven is described there by Isaiah.
Yeah. Eternal. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
19 through 23, let's kind of press on a little bit here. Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God the Lord belongs deliverance from death. But God will strike the head of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of scary, thinking about my dog eating my enemies there.
It's certainly very descriptive, isn't it? I mean, they don't leave any holes uncovered there. That's for sure. So, wow. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that the first couple of verses here are talking about God is our salvation. And, of course, we know that this is Yeshua, that word for salvation. And in a sense, we could even read this, God
points
is our Jesus. And the Jesus of our salvation, or the God of our, he is the second son of the Trinity here. There's three gods here in verse 20, God, 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 and in the middle is Yeshua once again. And he, to him belongs the deliverance from death, that Yeshua, the God of our salvation.
Yeah, a lot of people there wonder now, what's going to happen when I die? And there's a certain fear of the unknown. What's going to occur? Well, you don't have to worry about how to get to heaven, because the Lord will take care of it. He is the only way that you're going to get there. And so when you're dead, you're not aware of this earth anymore, and you're going to be immediately with the Lord. So that's clear from the thief on the cross. I say unto you today, you'll be with me in paradise. So how God does that, nobody knows, but he does it. And so it is not a worry for you or for me. He is the one who delivers you from death. So no worries there.
I also think that we could look at this in a Romans 7 perspective. Once again, that old man, new man, the old Adam is the enemy that is in cahoots with the world and the devil. And the final enemy to be destroyed is death. And so God has destroyed the unholy Trinity in the waters of holy baptism, and that final enemy is death. And the Lord has taken care of that also for us. So going along with what you were just saying, that we can rest in the salvation of the Lord, knowing that we who have been laid to rest already in the waters of baptism have already been raised to eternal life. And even though this body will cease to function, yet I will live with him.
Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about your body, because it's going to decay, but you live. You continue to live. Your soul lives on, and you get a new body anyway when Jesus returns. So he's got that all taken care of.
What an amazing thing that is.
Yes.
That, this body will be raised, but perfected in Christ. What a beautiful thing.
No glasses or hearing aids or any aids of that matter.
I'm sorry, what?
I say, yeah, all right, okay, I got it, I get that, yeah. Just a little bit slow there on that one.
See what I did
one,
there?
So, okay, all right. Okay.
Anything else in this section, Pastor Hawkinson?
Well, you're getting the fear of the Lord here, that holy sense of awe, the one, God is my salvation. This goes back to Genesis 3:15, and you think of striking on the head, the serpent, the head will be crushed. And the way to kill someone is to get them right on the crown of the head. Mm. And that's where the enemies are going to be crushed, is on the crown of the head, to make sure that they are killed. And to use your illustration as well, the enemy, which is death and the devil and sin, is crushed through Christ's death and resurrection. And you and I come up out of the waters of baptism into what David was talking about, that new life in Christ, where we don't desire to sin. Sure, it's still a struggle. Believe you me, I struggle every day. I don't know about you, but I've got this Romans 7 stuff going on too. It's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Fortunately, most of the time the spirit wins, but not always. And I'm reminded I'm a sinner who needs a savior. I'm reminded of that every day.
I would be very concerned if you didn't have that struggle with
okay.
you.
Yes, right. Definitely, I have that struggle, very much so, you bet. And it says there, come and hear all you who fear God. What kind of fear is being talked about here? I mean, this has to be one that says, oh my goodness, God is so awesome and big. And I did a bit on Moments of Assurance once. I wish I had a photographic memory and I could recall all the statistics regarding light years from one planet to another in the universe and the galaxies and the millions of galaxies and the millions of light years from one star to another. I mean, the vastness of the universe, and yet you and I are on this little planet of Earth here in this huge universe, and Jesus came down from heaven to this little planet to save his people from their sins. So do you remember the flood of 93? I don't know if you do.
Yeah.
My family and I were living in Alton, Illinois at the time, and I remember watching on the news that night that there was a family who lost their home, but they wrote in big letters with paint, I think white paint, on top of the roof, no fear. And and that's right. There is no fear for any person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior regarding anything, for that matter.
We need to press on. 24 to 27 here. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last between them, virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. I guess that's where
kinda
we
neat.
End up with that section.
Yeah, well, that whole thing, that those four, two from the north and two from the south of the tribes, and interesting that the smallest tribe would be the leader here. That's a little bit of a twist there that God gives to you and to me. But then the others, showing that all of Israel is represented there by those four tribes, because you get the tribes from the north and tribes from the south. So this was no doubt before the rebellion of the 10 tribes. So you've still, obviously, you know, you've got all of Israel represented there by those four tribes. So, you know, this must have been really something, this procession with the musicians and the virgins playing the tambourines. And what would it have sounded like? I wish, you know, a person could have been there and been able to hear, you know, bring some of the worldwide KFUO modern equipment over there and record some of this procession.
We wouldn't have anywhere to plug it in, though, Mark.
That's a minor thing. Oh, boy.
This procession of God into the sanctuary, into the tabernacle, is that what I'm to assume?
Yes, we believe that's what it is. Yeah, the tabernacle. And we don't know how far there was. They could only go so far, of course. You couldn't go into the holy place or the holy of holies, but they were able to go just so far into it. And the procession of victory, giving God the glory and the honor for taking care of his people, for trampling underfoot those who lust after tribute and scattering the people who delight in war. You know, the Lord takes care of his people, and those same angels, I don't know about chariots, but, you know, Psalm 91 is clear. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So those invisible beings, you know, what can you say? They're there to protect you, to protect your soul as you head for your heavenly goal, which ironically is already yours, as you mentioned earlier.
We have about 5 minutes left, so let's go ahead and take these last two sections together, 28 through 35. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us, because of your temple at Jerusalem shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out their hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Pastor Hawkinson, with just about 4 minutes left, what jumps out at you here?
Well, I mean, you look at the imagery here of says rebuke the beasts. They're the enemies. That's what that refers to there, that dwell in the reeds or the kind of the low places where they're not going to be seen. They're trying to hide, but rebuke those enemies or the herd of bulls, or that's another way of describing them. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. So once again, you know, God is the victor over the enemies of Israel. And we think that a lot of this, that this does refer to the crossing of the Jordan and the conquest of Canaan, and not only the Canaanites, but there were a number of other foreign nations that were surrounding Jerusalem at that time. They were all conquered by Israel. And this is just giving tribute to God for being the one responsible for the victory. Of course, the people who fought, they deserve some credit, but obviously it was the Lord who provided the victory. And the same way with you and me today, the victory over sin and over death, well, that victory is already yours and mine, but it's exercised. That's the way I like to look at it. Exercise the victory that's already yours in Jesus Christ through the way that you approach your day by faith, and not by doubt, and not by, woe is me, but, oh, God help me, not to be woeful, but to be hopeful instead. And this psalm is gives you and me hope. And notice one thing, it says in verse 32, to him who rides in the heavens. That's kind of an interesting, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it says ancient heavens, and God was once referred to as the Ancient of Days. In other words, there's no beginning for him. He's eternal, the Ancient of Days, and so he sends out his mighty voice, and so awesome is God from his sanctuary. And at another point, it says that Sinai is brought into the tabernacle. So you have the law and the gospel. You have the means of salvation through shed blood, and ultimately through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself.
I love 34 and 35 here. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel. And how we read this as the church also, that his power is over the church. And whose power is in the skies. I think about the ascension, Jesus going up into the heavens, and yet he will return from the heavens in the skies. And awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be to God. The sanctuary of God, both heaven and the church, where we enter in his name to receive his gifts, the benefits that he has for us through the word of God.
Until we get there. Until we get to heaven, he gives us an hors d'oeuvre. An hors d'oeuvre of eternity.
The foretaste
of the feast to come, just as it says in a liturgy. You know, I love that liturgy. So,
and then we finish this with blessed be God. The prayers of the church certainly reflect that, don't they?
Yeah, and I think in this procession, that's what they were singing too. Blessed be God, in the original language there, of course. But that's ascribing to him all the glory. That they had no worries, they were taken care of, and only when they did not trust did they run into problems.
And once again, we say blessed be God because of what we were talking about earlier also, that he has taken sinners and declared them saints in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, turn a saint into a sinner, what could be better?
Amen. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, thanks so much for being on the Bible study today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Stay tuned for Moments of Assurance with Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Can I get it?
Oops. There we go.
I say, can I get a drink of water first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's good. Thank you.
Stay tuned to KFUO all day and all night on the internet.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time.
The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.